Welcome to AT Conference. Please dial your conference.
Someone has joined the conference.
Sorry, excited about coming back and racing. I took my first step back racing at the weekend with a half marathon in the Great North Run. Was a bit disappointed with it, but looking at where I'd come in the 5 weeks to get to there and thinking about where I can get in another 5 weeks, I'm really excited that I can be very competitive in the race in New York and be right up there with everyone else.
Great. Thanks, Paula.
Okay.
Richard, let's go ahead and start with you for a question. If you have one. Okay. We'll move on down the list. Neil Wilson.
Paula, we spoke to you at the weekend quite a bit, but tell us why New York, why not Chicago, why Japan, why New York?
A number of reasons. I mean, I had in the back of my mind that the next step would either be a marathon or going on to some shorter races after the Great North Run. And obviously, time-wise, Chicago is a no-go because there's no time to get ready for that. And New York kind of fitted in perfectly, really. It gives me enough time to come back and to do another 3 weeks, good mileage, good work here, and then have a good taper down to racing well there. So it's not too long, it's not too short. On top of that, it's a great field, and like I said before the Great North, I want to go back into races that I can get my teeth into and that are really going to get me fired up in training and are a good competitive starting place back. So I want to be able to get in there and be competitive with the rest of the best in the world. And I think that New York's a great place to do that. On top of that, it is a special place to me as well, right, going back to when I started doing it with the Fifth Avenue Miles through the 10Ks in Central Park and then obviously to my race there in 2004. It's a great city that I really enjoy just being in and visiting, but to race there and to be there in Marathon Week, it's a really special place.
Neil, a follow-up?
Fine, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Rick,
Bradman. Yeah, hi, Paula.
Hi.
You were saying at the weekend that you were going to make this decision sort of in the car on the way home. How long did it take you before you knew you could do New York?
Well, it took us probably a lot longer. A lot shorter than it took us to actually drive home sitting in the A1. We just needed to discuss it. I wanted to discuss it with Alec as well, and he was there at the finish. And just to see, well, was that a solid start? Did I feel good? Did I pull up okay out of it, which was one of the main things? And I did. I mean, I actually felt better in the last mile or so than I had done earlier on in the race. And I felt that the stamina was there in the race. It was the leg speed that wasn't. My foot locked up a little bit, and we looked at that on Monday and were sure that that's okay, and it was just kind of starting back to racing, getting back into racing shoes. So then it was just, was it something I wanted to do? And that was, yes, obviously it was something I wanted to do. And I just decided that I could probably get more out of starting back into marathons rather than doing the other shorter races, and I could be ready in time.
Rick, a follow-up?
No, that's fine, thanks.
Okay, John McLean.
Hi, Paula. You said that you wanted to get back into a competitive race, and looking at the lineup, it certainly looks very competitive. Because you got the defending world champion then, Catherine Medvedeva. Is she kind of one of the markers that you're looking to measure yourself against, kind of looking ahead to Beijing? Because obviously, you're two of the biggest favourites there.
I think whenever you race Catherine, it's always going to be a very good race, and she's definitely one of the people that you look to. But that field is loaded. There are a lot of people in there. Yelena's got a very proven record in New York. Gorieva, Gator ran really well at the weekend. I've probably missed loads of people out because it is a very good field. And I think that's the most important thing. It's just to get back into a very good field and race well. I'm not sort of looking at one person above anyone else. It just is a very highly competitive field.
Someone has joined the conference.
As the field will be in Beijing. And I think that's what I need to do. And looking between now and Beijing, what I want to do is to get into very competitive races and race them and win them.
John, a follow-up?
Thanks, yeah.
Okay, let's move. Lynn Zinser.
Hi, Paula. Can you just describe, I mean, coming back into competitive racing after so long off and after having a child, was it tougher than you expected? Can you just tell me some of the, you know, maybe tougher parts of doing all that?
To be honest, the racing was the great part. The hardest part was not being able to get back into racing sooner and coping with the and the sort of delays that I've had related to the childbirth since over the summer and not being able to be in Osaka. To be honest, when I got back to the Great North Run and I was up there in the race hotel and everything built
Someone
up,
has joined the conference.
It didn't feel like I'd been away that long. It just felt like I was getting back to something that I enjoyed doing, and I was excited about it. I think in the race, obviously, it blew a few cobwebs away, and when Cara threw in the fast miles, I had difficulty responding fully to those, but I think that race would have brought me on. And it was only hard as it would always ever be hard getting beaten in a race where you don't want to get beaten. But no, I'm just excited and pleased to be back.
Lynn, a follow-up?
Yeah, just I mean, when you found out you were pregnant, and you know, and then when you had your daughter, what I mean, how did you expect that it would go? I mean, how were you thinking? You know, what was your plan, and you know, how quickly did you find out? Well, maybe that's not going to work out like that.
I think probably, to be honest, it was the opposite way around to the way I anticipated it would go. I anticipated to have to play a lot more by through the pregnancy and to maybe stop running for the last few months, not to be able to run the whole way through, to feel a lot more uncomfortable, to feel sick. But because obviously it was something that we'd really planned and really wanted, I was prepared for all of that and quite happy to deal with it. As it was, I had a very easy pregnancy, didn't feel that sick at all through it, and was able to run right through. My problems were more coming back after the labour, which I guess I hadn't anticipated. I thought I'd be able to bounce back faster. But if you look at it, it was probably just the one mistake that we made in trying to come back a little bit too quick at the beginning, and certainly not respecting it when it was still a stress reaction before it progressed to the stress, full stress factor. That's been the hard bit, but I've learned lessons from it for next time.
Sure.
And at the minute now, certainly all of the strengthening work and the core work that I had to do to get back after the injury and after the pregnancy, I think has really benefited me in other ways as well, and will keep going benefiting me.
Great, thanks. Rachel Cohen. Okay, Simon Lewis. Great, Peter Gambaccini.
Yeah, Paula, I'm just wondering, for the next few weeks, where you will be basing yourself, and also, you know, specifically since your concern seems to be with the speed, what kind of changes and particular workouts to address that will you be doing?
Well, we've got back to here to the Pyrenees, so I'm back in Font-Romeu for the next probably 2.5-3 weeks, and we'll be based here. Speed-wise, I mean, I think I've been doing the sessions. It's just a case of getting a few more weeks of doing those behind you. So just keeping on with the track sessions as they always are for my marathon preparation, tempo runs and things like that. Also, I think probably a big factor will be that I will come down from altitude at least sort of 15 days before the race, whereas before the Great North Run, I only came down on the Tuesday. So that makes a difference in that you just get used to running the faster times at sea level in that final 2 weeks, which I hadn't had going into the Great North.
Peter, a follow-up?
Well, I just want to be totally clear on the selection for Beijing. Do you think that even if you do extremely well here, do you think that you would be expected to show up? And I mean, I know you might have your own reasons for wanting to go to London, but would you be expected to show up in London in April?
If I ran decent in New York, well, when I ran decent in New York, I think that we're lucky we're not as, our selection criteria is not as strict as it is in the US. So there is always a discretionary place available for the selectors, whether you run the trials or not. So I think the way I'm looking at it now is to come back to run well in New York and then to have the luxury of choosing whether or not I need to run again before Beijing.
Okay.
Great. Steve Nierman. ahead. John Meyer.
Hi, Paula.
Hi.
You've always been known as such a single-minded, focused competitor. I'm wondering what it was like for you to shift priorities for a time, and in fact, if maybe that was just a really good mental break for your career. What was it like to shift priorities the way you had to?
You mean while I was pregnant?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I think it came naturally because there was something that I really wanted inside me that I really needed to look after. So I think it's just part of that. As much as I have an instinct to be highly competitive and to push my body very hard, as soon as I had another little thing to think about, that was also a huge priority to me. The mother's instinct maybe kicked in, but that was, everything was about just not, obviously I still wanted to do the training and I still got a lot of enjoyment from the training and the running, but it was easy for me to keep looking at the heart rate monitor and not to overstep that mark and just to safe, look after and keep everything safe.
And do you find that you've been refreshed by the break, mental break from not competing?
I definitely find, yeah, that I'm more fired up to compete, more likely to definitely stick with it, sort of in training when it gets, when I'm really, really tired, whereas before I might have said, you know what, I'll just take tonight off. I don't want to do that. I mean, I gave the example when I was up in Newcastle that a couple of weeks ago we had a really bad hailstorm, and Gary and I got caught out in it, and I think probably if that had been before the pregnancy, the stage I was at then, I would have thought, you know, I'm not going to get so much out of a 40-minute run tonight. These hailstones are really hurting me. I'll just call it a day now, but I didn't. I carried on through that, and I think that is just because I've missed it such a lot. And I have to say that as important as Isla is to me, and as much as I enjoyed being pregnant, I was very glad to get my body back afterwards and to be able to return to how I used to train, and putting that much more into it.
Charlie Butler.
Yeah, Paul, it's similar in vein, on that vein. Like, how do you balance your day now? Do you run at a different time of the day than you used to? Is it shorter, longer? Can you just give us an idea of what your day's like?
We're very lucky with Isla. She's very, very adaptable, very good, sleeps through the night totally, like 8 till 8, even till 9 some days. So my routine is pretty much the same as it always was. And to be honest, now it's hard to remember what life was like before Isla, but we basically just get up the same time. She has her breakfast while we have a drink and get ready. She then goes to the creche while we do the main session in the morning, and a gym session, and we pick her up. She naps while I nap in the afternoon, and then Gary just looks after her at night. So I guess the only difference is that I run alone at night more than I used to, or else she's there in the same area with Gary and the baby jogger, but not actually running with me.
Yes, do you use a baby jogger with her at all? Do you run with her?
I do sometimes, but Gary uses it more, to be honest, just because my runs have to be a bit quicker.
Okay.
But she loves going faster. It's just that if I was pushing it, I wouldn't be running as fast. But I guess the only difference is when you're traveling, there just have to be a bit more organized with things for her, and then sometimes sort of my suitcase is half full of her stuff as well.
Charlie, is your second sleeping as well?
No.
All right, thanks. John Elliott.
Yeah, Paula, coming back from the pregnancy, do you think that's going to affect the way you approach this race? Is it possible you'll be tentative, still learning about your body, or how do you envision your mate?
No, I mean, I think in terms of learning about my body feels pretty much now it's getting better. I mean, there are some areas that I just need to work on and still strengthening up a little bit, but generally it feels pretty much as it used to be. I think it will be sort of a step back into racing. I mean, I'm not expecting to come right back in at 215 shape, but obviously that I want to say for Beijing. But I do want to be right in there, sub 220, and able to be right up there competitive with everyone else. So in terms of getting back into racing, I mean, I think it's just that I will be stuck. Whatever the circumstances come into, you're always going to be extremely excited about the race and up for the race. And I think probably because I've been away so long, that will just be magnified a little bit and just be a little bit more up for it, a little bit more excited about it rather than nervous, because I haven't raced for so long.
A follow-up, John?
Sure. And then I guess, is the big goal now Beijing, and is there any possibility, I mean, you're, I'm assuming, going to do one distance in Beijing?
Oh, yeah, definitely do just the marathon in Beijing. And, yeah, that's the big goal up there now, but the other goals in between here and then are still really important.
All right, Phil Stewart.
Yeah, Paula, I mean, you know the course from 2004. You know who's running. I mean, can you put a time on, you know, what you think it will take to win? And obviously you'd like to win, so... you know, how fast do you think you're prepared to go? What do you think it'll take?
Well, I mean, it's difficult because when you have such a good field, often everyone can be watching each other and the winning time can be slower. When I ran in 2004, I probably, like, wasn't in as good a shape as I would want to be going into it now. But I was still able to win the race and be competitive there. So it's except, I mean, Gary informs me, he ran it last year, he informs me that it's a lot faster than everyone thinks it is, and that you could be able to win it in a decent fast time. And I think with the quality of the field assembled, you definitely have to be in good shape. So I would say you need to be in sub-220 shape going into it.
Okay, and as a follow-up, they're not going to be using pace setters in New York. Does that have an impact on you, or what are your thoughts about that?
It doesn't usually. I think it's just, like I said, with the quality of the race, I think that the fact that there's no pace setters isn't really going to matter because it is a very high-standard race. And I think women's marathoning, we're probably a little bit... sort of less used to thinking about pacemakers than the men anyway, because we do have that difficulty in anybody getting often to halfway in the race anyhow.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Larry Rosson.
I'm fine. My question's already been answered.
Great. Dave and Grady.
Yeah, if I could clarify, I may have misheard. Did Paula say she wanted to run sub-210? What was the...
Yeah, I'd love to.
what is your...
I'd really love to, but maybe not this time.
What is your realistic goal? Do you have a realistic goal? Well, do you have a...
My goal is to come in and to be competitive and to win the race. I was saying that I think to be there and to have realistic intentions of winning the race, I think you need to be in sub-220 shape. Whether that actually pans out and it's won in that time is a whole different story, but I think you need to go into it in that shape.
Dave, a follow-up?
No, that's fine. Thank you.
All right. Robert Falco.
Yes. I just wanted to know if you could characterize what drives you to continue to want to compete at the highest level of the sport.
I think because it's something that I still love and I get a huge buzz and a lot of enjoyment out of. I'm naturally a competitive person. Marathoning is what I'm best at, and it's something that I've really enjoyed ever since I moved to the marathon in 2002. And so I think that brings out the best in me. And as long as I still have the motivation to, I think the main thing is, as long as I still have the motivation to do all the training to be able to come out and race marathons, I think I will always have the motivation to come out and race them. I think it's having that motivation to knuckle down to the weeks and weeks and the slogging away in training. And I still have that. I found that I really missed that when I was pregnant. And if anything, that sort of underlined to me that I'm a long way from being done yet and from wanting to step back and retire.
And a follow-up, Robert?
No, that's good. Thank you.
Okay. Weldon Johnson.
Hi, Paula.
Hey.
Speaking of retirement, it seems like the only thing really you haven't accomplished is, you know, the Olympic gold medal. So maybe, I guess, turning to Beijing and the heat and the asthma, you know, and your asthma and the air quality. Are you going to, sounds like from what I've read, you've done a few things to kind of already start preparing for that. Can you comment?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry.
Just wondering if you could comment on any of the things you're doing for Beijing in particular.
We're obviously looking at making sure that my asthma is totally under control. Going into that, I will be sort of traveling in with my peak flow and adjusting it as I need to. Running in the heat and humidity is something that in the past I've acclimatized pretty well to. And so, just again, it's making sure that you acclimatize well and cope well with that. And the other thing is just looking at other factors, other allergens and things that might be around in terms of pollen and stuff like that at that time of year, making sure that we're covered for that. But I think, like anything else, I think if you're in the best state that you can be in, you handle the conditions, and yes, conditions make the time slower and make things tougher, but I think you just have to make sure you're getting yourself there in the best shape that you can be and as well prepared for the conditions as you can be, and then just get on and race it. But yes, that is obviously something that really keeps me motivated and keeps me fired up at the moment, is that I don't feel I've got the best out of myself at an Olympics yet, and that's important. But I equally don't see that if I did accomplish everything that I ever dreamed of doing in Beijing, I don't see myself walking away from this and retiring in 2009. I still feel that I've got a lot in me, and it is important to me to try and carry on through at least through 2012.
A follow-up question?
Oh, that's good.
All right. I think I've made it through my list so that I could furiously scribble down as people got on the call. I want to tentatively open it for any follow-ups or people that we might have missed, keeping in mind just asking a question and one follow-up.
Hello, it's Richard Lewis here.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, Richard.
Did not winning on Sunday play a part and you wanted to perhaps run again very quickly to try and get a victory into your system sort of thing?
No, I don't think so. I mean, obviously I wasn't very happy to be beaten, and certainly be beaten so decisively as well. So that fires me up to go back in away and train harder. But in terms of the next race, I think even if I'd won, I still would have been looking to move on and to probably hopefully go in this direction too.
And just to be a follow up, you use the phrase train harder. You were saying last week you've been doing 103 miles a week anyway. How much harder can you train?
Well, I mean, training harder doesn't mean running more miles. It just means putting that little bit extra, that extra 5% more effort into it, and doing the sessions quicker. I won't be upping my mileage any more than I have been, than it's been at over the last bit, because that's pretty much my maximum. It's just running the sessions harder and better.
Thank you.
Paul, it's Mike Rowbottom here.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. A bit of a dim question, but could you just outline exactly what you need, minimum, to run in Beijing, run the Beijing Marathon next year, and what are your obligations?
Sorry, I didn't. It cracked up in the middle of that. What I need minimum to do the Beijing Marathon.
What is your minimum requirement with the selectors to earn the place to run in Beijing Marathon?
Your minimum requirement.
I don't know. I think that's a question you probably need to ask the selectors. I mean, the way I'm looking at it, I need a qualifying time and I need to be in shape to go there. I wouldn't go myself if I wasn't in shape to go in there and to be where I wanted to be.
But the bottom line is that you need a qualifying time.
Yeah, I'm sure you do need a qualifying time, definitely. I don't envisage not having that, though.
Can I just ask also, you've opted for New York, but were you considering running, how strongly were you considering Tokyo or possibly London? Would London have been leaving it too late again?
No, I wouldn't have been leaving it too late. I mean, I think it's ran London and then went on and ran very well in Helsinki afterwards. So, I mean, that's totally possible as well. So they were all options. It was whether, I think because of the delays I've had getting back into this year, really the question was whether I could be ready for an autumn marathon or whether it would have to be later in the year.
Hi, Paula. It's Doug Gillen here.
Hi, Doug.
Hi. You spoke earlier about goals in between, i.e. between now and Beijing. You said you had other goals. Can you say what these might be, and would they embrace the World Cross Country perhaps next spring?
Well, that's definitely an option in there, I think, especially because it's in Edinburgh. But yeah, I mean, when I said that, it was very open goals because this is the only one that's really decided on at the moment. And I will go into that, then I'll take a break afterwards, and then I'll plan from there where to go from there. So, I mean, I guess the fact that it means that I'm not going to be starting back training until the end of November means that sort of time I make decisions on where I'm going, it's going to be in the middle of December.
but Edinburgh remains a definite option that you might consider.
Yes, definitely. I mean, it depends, I think, on whether you do another spring marathon or not. And then I haven't even, to be honest, looked down at the difference between them if that were an option to do both. But everything would be sort of planned to, like I say, making sure that it works the best way it can do going into Beijing.
Thank you.
Hi, Paula. This is Liz Robbins.
Hi, Liz.
Hi. I just wanted to talk to you quickly about New York in 2004, and maybe you can kind of reflect on what that meant for you in your career after what happened in Athens, and if that personal symbolism could actually inspire you for this year in your first marathon back from pregnancy.
Well, I think it probably definitely can, because I think going back in 2004, at the time, I just saw it when I actually called up the organizers, but I think only about a few weeks before, and said, you know what, I want to come race, is it possible? And they said yes. At the time, I was just thinking about getting back to racing, getting back to doing something that I really wanted to do. It was only when we got there and sort of did all the press pre-marathon that I kind of thought, well, people think this is a lot bigger a deal. People think things are never going to be the same again after Athens. It was something that had never crossed my mind. I just thought it was a race that I wanted to win, a race that I hadn't been able to do yet and hadn't won. So it was another one to tick off my list, plus a great competitive race, and New York being a special place to me. And I think then the way that the race went, it was probably even more so afterwards that I saw that it was actually probably a bigger deal going into New York than I had thought about it. At the same time, I've got very happy memories of the race and of running well there, of running well there in other races too. And I think that's always a good place to start when you're coming back and you're looking for a race where you want to come back and run very well.
Great, thank you.
This is Phil Stewart. I have a follow-up question here. Has anybody done the math on the World Marathon Majors rankings that if Paula were to win New York, what does that do to Gitta and Yelena?
Hi, Phil. It's Mary. Basically, what happens now is Yelena has to finish in the top three and beat Gitta to win.
That's regardless of what Paula does, is that right?
Yeah, the relevance Paula has to the race is that it's another competitor in the way of winning the race or coming in second or third. So one could argue it helps get a little bit more, but take a look at worldmarathonmajors.com and you can run through all the scenarios.
I was hoping somebody else had done that.
Well, I know I take a lot of time now, but the basic is it's another person in the way of the win or the podium.
Here's Bob Richards, Chicago Sun-Times, with a quick follow. Paula, do you have any interest in pursuing the 2007-8 World Marathon Majors title in addition to going after Beijing?
I think, honestly, first and foremost is making sure that everything's perfect going in, as near as it can be going into Beijing. Having said that, I've learned before and kind of where I really backed off before Athens that there are no guarantees in this world and that you need to just get on and do what you enjoy doing and what you want to do in terms of racing as well. But I don't want to do anything that will jeopardize, if that makes sense, or take any risks with my performance in Beijing. Having said that, if it works out that things go well with the World Marathon Majors as well, then yeah, it's an option, but it's definitely a secondary thing to Beijing.
Thank you.
Paula, it's Richard here again. I'm not sure I can ask another one. In terms of the Olympics next year, is that the be-all and end-all in terms of your whole career? Do you think you'll look back on your career if you don't win in Beijing as something missing, or will you still be satisfied with what you've achieved?
Oh, a difficult question. I mean, I think... Oh, I don't even want to say it, because...
Not implying it doesn't happen, but, you know.
I was thinking now if you stop my career now, but I don't even think about that, because I still feel that I have a lot more to do. And even after Beijing, I still see that I might have another Olympics in me. So it's hard, but because it is something that's very important to me. It is something that feels missing, but it's not something that I feel kind of every day is like a huge thing around my neck. but at the same time, it is something that I really want. Is that making sense?
Absolutely, yeah.
I don't feel like it's something that totally weighs down on me. Like if you said I couldn't have Isla ever, or a child ever, then that would be a bit more important. But it is something that's important to me too.
I have a follow-up, if I may.
Yeah.
Paul, this is John Meyer again from the Denver Post. I think we all remember the sign that you held at the Edmonton World Championships about getting drug cheats out. I'm wondering if you think that progress has been, is being made in the fight against doping, if Athens was cleaner than Edmonton, and if you think Beijing can be cleaner than Athens. How much confidence do you have in not just the testing, but the progress that's being made, the trend line that's there?
I think the key is that we are making progress, and it is moving forward. I think, as most of the sort of clean athletes are going to say to you, it's not where it needs to be yet, but we are getting there, and it is moving forward. There still needs to be improvements in the testing, but I'm satisfied that there's a lot more research going into it. The blood profile and they're doing is kind of up and working in terms of they know a lot more where to target now, but we still need to improve the accuracy of the testing. I think there are so many things out there that apparently can be out of the system so fast that it is a little bit hit and miss and target until you catch. But at the same time, I think we have seen evidence of that happening over the last year or so, and people being caught, and I think that is working as a bigger deterrent, and as we improve the testing even further, then that's going to work as a greater deterrent. So yes, I do see it moving forward, but I do think there's a ways to go yet, and I think that the athletes need to cooperate with that as much as possible, which is what we're trying to do on the IAAF Athletes Commission. And certainly one of the reasons where, although I have sympathy with something like the Christine Orugu thing, we do still need to, we do need to sort of play by those restrictions and abide by them and make sure that we do notify as much as possible about the whereabouts, because it's very important that they can test whenever, wherever.
I'm guessing you would like to see considerably more out-of-competition testing, and not just in the developed countries, but all over the world, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think it needs to be a fair thing, and at the moment, if there's a lot of competition testing going on in developed countries just because there's a lab nearby, and there isn't in this country over here because they haven't got a lab nearby, then clearly that's not fair, and people who want to cheat are going to be motivated to do so and are going to know where to go and train, where they're not going to be tested out of competition so much. So it needs to be clamped down on, and yes, out of competition needs to be something that any athlete, wherever they are, knows that the next day or in the next hour someone could come knock on the door and ask for a sample.
Thank you.
Well, one supplement from Neil Wilson.
Yep.
Earlier in the conversation, you were talking about your pregnancy being easier than expected and coming back more difficult. You made the comment, I have learned some lessons for next time.
Yeah.
Can we assume that next time will be somewhere between Beijing and London?
Yeah, I mean, you can assume it's definitely not going to be before Beijing. And I don't want a massive gap either. So, yeah, I mean, but fingers crossed things would happen, okay, and things like that. They're not, put it this way, it's not in the planning yet.
You want Isla to have a sibling that's not too much younger?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want one that's 7 or 8 years younger. It is something that has to be planned into Mummy's career too. And we haven't sat down and looked at anything like that now. We're just enjoying her at the moment.
If I may, Dave Ungrady at WCSN, can you say when you first thought about running in New York? You said you decided shortly after the recent race, but when did you first start thinking about it?
Probably about 4 or 5 months pregnant. I knew that it would be an option. I was kind of then thinking maybe would London be an option? No, that would be surely too soon. I think because I missed racing during my pregnancy, I was thinking of lots of places where I could come back and race afterwards, and New York was definitely up there through that.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll just maybe take this last final question and then go ahead.
Paul, it's Richard again, and I'm not sure how you can answer this at all, but in terms of of your career, and you've been away for 2 years. So does a commercial aspect play a part in what marathon you choose now? Is that still an important part in life?
No, not really. To be honest, I think you could probably put the two things together, because what I look for is a really competitive race, a very well organised race, and I think you're probably going to find that a lot of the best competitive races tend to be in the bigger big city marathons. Maybe because other people decide on commercial things, but no, for me, it has to be a race that sort of puts a fire in me to do the training and to want to do that. And to be honest, the commercial stuff is just then left to Gary. I just sort of bring the problem on him and say, you know what, I want to do that race, sort of,
What is it about New York that puts a fire in you? Is it the setting? Is it just the whole occasion?
I don't know. I mean, the first time I went there was to run the Fifth Avenue Mile in 95 or 96. I think it was 95 even. And Gary and I went a week before, and I think we must have walked just about every inch of Manhattan and New York. And just the first day running in Central Park, you feel the buzz. I mean, we thought there was a race going on, and it was just everybody else out on a Sunday morning in Central Park. And it's just something about the atmosphere of the city that I just really, really love. And then I think when you put all of the marathon runners there who have come in for the race, that just builds the atmosphere even more. And you can be walking around and you just know that these are runners around you, but they're also really excited about being in New York as a city. And it just seems to embrace the race, and the atmosphere along the route is very special too. And like I say, it's just a city that I like to visit anyway, even if I'm not there running.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Great. Well, thank you so much, everybody. We're so honored to have Paula back. Paula has become like family to me and to all of the New York Roadrunners. And for us, Paula is, as I said, I think the best woman distance running ever, certainly world's best marathoner. And what we're most proud of and excited about Paula is I think that Paula is a terrific model for people of all ages, model for a way to live a life. And we appreciate her commitment and her fortitude and her tremendous enthusiasm and drive. Can't wait to have you back, Paula. And I think we'll forever be most proud to be Isla's first marathon.
Oh, she's looking forward to it too.
All right.
And this is Sarah again. For all the journalists, we'll have a transcript available later in the day, so be on the lookout for that. Thanks to everyone for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paula.
Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Paula. Thanks, Miri.
Thanks, media. Bye, Neil. Bye, Doug. Thank you.